Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom all ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." I want you to think about that verse for a moment. What does that verse mean for you in your life daily? What does that verse mean to you in your life daily? If I could ask even a secondary question on that, is how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? I just want to remind us here, and we're going to be looking at this morning, but when God has given us the Holy Spirit, when we asked Him to come into our heart and save us, and I think this lesson is just really timely in my opinion, because, you know, as we think about Easter, we think about what Christ has done for us, we think about the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus said that, "I am not going to leave you comfortless." And we're going to be looking at that in a moment. But we want to see the importance of the Holy Spirit here in our lives. If I could remind you, the Holy Spirit here teaches us, He reminds us, He guides us, He comforts us, He's our helper, He comes alongside us, He guides us, He intercedes for us. Can I say anything else? The Holy Spirit has what? An important role in what? The life of a believer. The Holy Spirit has an important role in the Trinity. God the Father and the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus Christ. We need to see that this is important. And I just want to remind us that when we think of the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit in your life? When you guys are thinking about down the road, if you disciple somebody and you want to go through the gospel with them and they just got saved, right? This is very critical to point out to them. Because the person you're discipling, we don't know their background. We don't know where they come from. We don't know what they've been through, right? But we have good news for them. Now that they're saved, they have a comforter. They have a teacher. They have someone that can guide them. They have someone that can intercede for them, right? And that's important news. That's important for them to hear that. How about us? Is the Holy Spirit, is He a mysterious and mystical person? What's the picture that you have of the Holy Spirit in your mind? Or is He real and practical? Is He really real in our lives? How often do we focus on Him? We're going to look at basically some important truths here on the Holy Spirit this morning. And that, as we look at the truths, I want you not only to think about how to relay this information when you're discipling someone and you're showing someone the importance of the Holy Spirit, but we ourselves as the teacher, right, as a discipler, okay, we need ourselves have to get a hold of these truths as well. Because if these truths are not real in our lives, if we don't grasp them and we don't embrace them ourselves, it's going to be hard for those that we're discipling to see how important this is. First point we want to see in our lesson, if you've done your lesson, I hope you all done your lessons. I know it's been busy, right? I know, you know, we've had a lot going on, right? But I hope you've had time to go through this lesson in your books. But if you didn't, I'd like you to follow along here. But our first point here is the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. The Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. It's interesting, as we look at this lesson, it really aligns a lot with what we talked about last week, and I'll mention that again a little bit later. But there's this idea of this inward man, this inward transformation that needs to take place, right? God wants to change our heart, our thinking, our mind, right? And when he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's allowed that to happen. Before the cross, Christ told his disciples that he would be leaving. But he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He told his disciples that he was going to leave them. Can you imagine when they heard that, what their thinking was, what their thought process was? It's like, you know, it's like having someone that you're close to, that you love, that you look up to, and that you want to be around all the time, and all of a sudden one day they come up to you and just say, you know what, I'm not going to be here anymore. And we see here in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you," this is interesting, he says, "another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Did you hear that? That he may abide with you for how long? Forever. And I don't want to skip over that one important word there, but he says that he will give you what? Another comforter. Up to this point, right, Jesus has been the comforter, right? He's been with them. He's been walking with them. He's been teaching them. He's been guiding them. He's been showing them great miracles. He's been doing all that. He's been the comforter up to this point. And now he's telling his disciples, you know what? I'm no longer going to be here, but there's going to be another comforter. You know what? Some of us as Christians, we know that what? Christ isn't with us right now, right? But if you accepted him as your Savior, you know what? He's given you a comforter. Right? We need to believe that. We need to really think about that. We need to understand the fact that God, when we asked him to come into our heart and save us from our sins, and he became our Savior of our lives, right? That he's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's the comforter of our lives. Our first point here is that he is the divine comforter. We see this four times mentioned in John chapter 14, verse 16, John chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, and then again in chapter 16, verse 7. We already looked at John chapter 14, verse 16, but if we look at 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall," what? Here it is, "teach you all things." And I want you to see something as I read all these verses in John. I want you to note something. And I'm going to emphasize it as I read it and see if you can pick it up, okay? He says here that he shall teach you all things, okay? "And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." That word "testify" basically means that he will be a witness, or he came to affirm. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." It's interesting to note here that in these verses here, how much the word "Comforter" is stressed. I know one thing for sure is I need a lot of comfort. I need a lot of comfort in my Christian life. I get down. I get low. My mind questions things. I have hard times. But it's great to know that, you know what? Christ did not want to leave us comfortless. But he's given us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. He's given us our Holy Spirit to guide you through truth. We looked at John chapter 14, verse 26 already, and he says, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." It's great that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us through truth. It's what makes truth come alive. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, all of a sudden truth seemed to be easier to understand. It's like the Holy Spirit all of a sudden just opened your eyes to the Bible. It's like the Holy Spirit opened your eyes to God's Word and said, "Do you see this now? Do you understand this now?" I mean, obviously that when we read the Bible, there's things that we might not understand. We still struggle with. And perhaps it's because, you know, we're not maybe studying everything, or perhaps God just hasn't shown us something yet. That's okay, but you know what? When we got saved, all of a sudden everything became what? Understood. All of a sudden truth became real. And what's interesting is that when we start looking at truth and we start reading it, it says here that the Holy Spirit will help bring those things to your remembrance. He will use the truth to guide you. Oh, how much guiding and how much do we need to have that truth just come back to our memory when we're in need? Not only that, he comforts us and gives us truth, but he strengthens you for service. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with," oh, here it is, "all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I just find it interesting in all these texts, and as we look through these, that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, there's this emphasis on all. There's a lot that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. And yet, I think as Christians, I don't think we look at the Holy Spirit, I hope I'm wrong with this, but I don't feel like there's an importance there as the Holy Spirit ought to have. If Jesus told his disciples that it's important, we're going to be looking at this, that he goes, because if he doesn't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And he says that, "I'm going to give you another comforter." We ought to be looking at the Holy Spirit as, "Boy, this is vital for our lives." The Holy Spirit ministers to our heart in comfort. He ministers to our heart in truth. He ministers to our heart in service. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. He also empowers your witness. Oh, I love it when you go out and you're trying to give someone the gospel and you're trying to be a witness for Christ, right? And he empowers you during that time. Do you ever do that when you like witness to someone, you talk to someone, and all of a sudden it's just like all the words were there? Did you ever have that happen to you? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's, he's working in their life, he's working in your life, right? The Holy Spirit is just constantly busy going, doing all kinds of things, right? And we need to understand that, that we're going to be looking at this in a minute, but we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing in our hearts and our lives. I just love it when he empowers us to witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but ye shall receive, right here, power. We know this verse. After the Holy Spirit has come upon me, he shall be witnesses unto you both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We use this verse quite often to talk about the Great Commission, right? We're talking about discipleship here. This is the book we're talking about. We're going through a book on discipleship, right? This is part of the Great Commission that we go out and we have power and we teach others also, right? That we teach people the gospel. But we're promised to receive power. So the Holy Spirit ministers to our hearts, but the other main point here in your lesson was being filled with the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life work. Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life work. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? Can I give you a picture? Right? Does your car work without gasoline? I mean, are you going to be able to get to point A to point B if you don't put gas in your car? Or plug it in. Yeah, that's right. We got to get the electric part of it. If you don't charge your car nowadays, right? If you don't get the solar energy and plug it in, and the car's not going to go anywhere, right? Let me ask you a question. Do you ever consider how impossible the Christian life is? That's not my question. That was in your lesson, by the way. But do you ever consider that? When I saw that question in our lesson, I never really thought about it that way. I never really thought about how impossible the Christian life is. But when I read that, I was thinking to myself, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're going to get back to this car and gas analogy here in a minute, but the Holy Spirit empowers change in our lives from the inside out. The Holy Spirit empowers change in our lives from the inside out. We touched on this a little bit when we were talking about you and God's Word. That was our last lesson we taught on, right? But when we taught on that lesson, we taught a lot about the fact that, you know, God changes for us from the inside. He renews our mind. He renews our thinking. He changes our heart, right? And a lot of that happens through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells within us. And I was just thinking to myself, how neat that is, that the fact that God changes us from the inside, right? He changes our heart. He changes our minds, our thinking, right? And who dwells within us? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is critical when it comes to that process. See, the Scripture instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. What does that actually mean? Yeah. Okay, yield it. We're going to talk about a little bit about being yielded to the Spirit. Yeah, yield it. That's a good word. Very much so. Yeah. 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 Yeah, when you go to the gas station, maybe some of you guys do this when the gas prices are a little high. I don't know. I don't want to get too technical here. But you just go to the gas station and go, right? And just squirt a few little pieces of gas and close it up and continue on down the road. I mean, especially if you're on a long trip, right? Pastor, you had to stop somewhere in between Florida and Wisconsin, right? Would it have been kind of crazy if your wife got in the car and your wife looked at the gas gauge and go, why'd you only put a quarter tank of gas in? Right? Well, we got a long way to go, right? Don't you want to fill it up? Right? That's what it means. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be overflowing with God in our lives. We need to be overflowing with the Spirit of God in our lives. If you know, it should be to the point where we just want to stick that gas into the nozzle, right? We just want to stick that in there, right? And put it on, click it on, right? And just let it run out. I know that sounds dangerous with a car, you know. But that's the idea. Let the Holy Spirit control your life and be filled with Him. Not only be filled, but let it overflow. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's an interesting verse. I'm not going to get into the whole argument about alcohol and drinking and things like that. That's another time. Pastor, I'll leave that for you. But I like the analogy here, but be not drunk with wine. You know, when the world has problems and the world has issues and there's things going wrong, what is it that they turn to, right, to get that relief, to get some kind of, to get their mind off those issues and problems? What do they turn to? They turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to other substances, right, to help bring their mind and get their mind off of those problems of life or things that are bothering them. But they don't go away. If you do that, it's only what? Temporal. And they continue doing it over and over and over again because that's the only thing that the world has and that they can go to. And that's the only thing that they think that can help them. But as a Christian, we see here that we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We shouldn't have to go to anything else. The world turns to alcohol. Christians should turn to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to fill us up, to control our actions and what? Our reactions. A good way to know if we're really being filled by the Holy Spirit is the gauge of what comes out of our mouths. I mean, the Bible talks about that as like what we are inside. If we're a certain way inside, you know how it's going to be revealed? Through our mouths and through our actions. And it's usually a pretty good gauge to indicate where we really are at as a Christian. And it's usually those times when we're not in church that that's revealed. don't know about you guys, did you ever go in a grocery store and you're walking around, right? And there you are, you see someone that you know from church. You're in Walmart, right? And you played a little game, right? And you're kind of like in the aisle, right? You kind of look like you're looking at stuff, right? And you're kind of watching them. I hope you don't do that, by the way. But you've done it. But you've done it. And you watch them and you see how they're reacting to their kids, or you see how they're reacting to their spouse, and you're watching them and you want to see how real they really are. Right? I always worry about that when I go on these rallies for my work, you know? That I wonder if someone wants to like go to the rally just kind of see, okay, how's Roger when he's over at Daytona at Bike Week? Right? Does he put on his clip-on ponytail and what's that? I put my leathers on, the chaps, you know, put the spray down tattoos. You know, how we are outside of church, really, I think is a good indication of whether we're walking or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Pastor.
Sorry.
You wanna do what with a ponytail?
I would pay to see that on you. But
I'll do it.
One thing I just wanted to say,
yeah.
You're talking about being filled with the Spirit, I might be jumping ahead of you, is
fine.
Sometimes we think, you know, why didn't the Holy Spirit fill me? Why didn't he show up?
Yep.
The important thing to understand and remember is he's there.
Yes.
It's us, and it kind of goes back to what Rick had said with us yielding ourselves to allow him,
yep,
to fill us, to permeate, like Kristen said, throughout our body. Yep. If he's not doing it, it's because we're not letting him do it.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm going to get up to that point, but good point. Yeah, it's because I'm going to get right to that. I love that what you said there, but I'm going to get right to that in a minute here. But yeah, exactly true. I mean, it's, you know, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives is so vital. We need to be under his control. So not only does the Scripture tell us that to be filled with the Spirit, the Scripture tells us to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." What does it say here? "And ye shall not fulfill what? The lusts of the flesh." Oh, do you guys have a problem with anything in your lives? I'm not exempt. No one's exempt here, right? We all struggle and we all go through issues and we all go through problems, right? But if we want to have victory over those things, it says, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall what? Not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What a great truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit." The third thing, that point we mentioned here, is that Scripture warns us not to sin against the Spirit. And this is where I'm going to hit what Pastor was saying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 31 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." There it is again. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but be put away from you with all malice." We're not going to go and cover every one of those things, but it's obviously that Ephesians here is saying that we ought not to grieve the Spirit of God. And when we grieve Him, we're obviously doing these things. We have bitterness, we have wrath, we have anger, we have clamor, we have evil speaking. Remember what I just said a few minutes ago? How is it revealed in our lives that the Holy Spirit is not being controlled on the inside? There you go. If you look at the list of things, wrath, anger, clamors, evil speaking, what are those things? Things that come out of our mouth, right? Things that are shown by what? Our actions. Yes, sir.
moderation be known among all men.
Yes.
Moderation. That means you're not a little ponytail, right?
Well, I'm going to get hit with this ponytail thing for a long time. What did I say? Now I got clip-on earrings. Here we go. This is good. Okay. Grieving the Holy Spirit. One of the ways, you know, the Bible says here in Ephesians that we ought not to grieve. Grieving the Holy Spirit takes place when we, know what it says here, willfully sin. Even when he convicts our hearts that we shouldn't do wrong. See the pattern here? See the thing here? When I first got saved, you know what? I hate to even say it this way, but I just want to say, because I think a lot of you can relate with this, that when you first got saved, you probably had so much sensitivity to the Holy Spirit at that point. You were worried about every little thing you did. At least I hope you did. I hope you were. When you got saved, you did not want to disappoint God. You wanted to do everything you could to satisfy God and to please Him, right? And so you were very sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in your heart at that point. The problem what happens is over time. The problem what happens is that when we willfully sin, when we know we shouldn't be, we what? We grieve Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says that we ought not to, says, quench not the Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit takes place when we continually ignore or resist His promptings. When we do this, after time, we cease. Here it is. Let's get back to Pastor. Oh, Pastor, you walked out. Pastor. When we do these things, we cease to hear His voice. And this is kind of what Pastor was saying. It's not that the Holy Spirit, what, has left us. Remember the truths we already talked about? I should give you a comforter, right? Now he shall teach you all things. And the truth was is that what? He's going to be with us for what? Ever. Forever. So it's not that the Holy Spirit left us, but it's this idea that we're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know what? Our prayer ought to be right now is that, you know what, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help me, to wherever I go, whatever I do, may I always in my mind be careful and conscious of what the Spirit of God is trying to do in my life, what He's trying to say to me, right? May I learn from what He's trying to teach me, right? May there always be that wherever you do, like, you know, bad analogy, I know, but, you know, when I walk my dog and I walk the neighborhood, I'm constantly thinking that way. I'm thinking about, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to learn today? What do you want me to do today? What is it that I need to understand more? Show me some new truth. It's not that the Holy Spirit has ever left us. It's that we're grieving and quenching Him. When your car isn't working and you say, well, what's going on? I have a full tank of gas. Why is it clonking out? Why is it not running very well, right? Is because it wasn't in tune. It needs to be tuned up. Maybe the gas source is being quenched. Maybe the gas source is being pinched, and the engine cannot get the fuel. A car is not going to operate very well if you quenched or pinched the gas source. I'm almost out of time, but I want to hit this next last point pretty quickly. But what are the fruits of the Spirit? if they're evident. So the fruits of the Spirit is evident of his transformation in your life. So when you have the fruits of the Spirit, these things will be evident in our lives. So just like that what we are inside, what God's doing in our hearts and our lives inside, that transformation that takes place, right? The renewing of our minds, right? Just like if we're grieving the Holy Spirit, it's gonna come out of our mouths, it's gonna come out of our actions. Similarly, that when the Holy Spirit is doing the things and we're not quenching, we're not grieving the Holy Spirit, we're gonna see these kind of results. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. For the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it says here, against such there is no law. I won't get into what that means at the end there. It's a neat little study if you want to look at it. But look at that list compared to the other list we looked at. So one list is what? When we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. The other list is what? When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And let's just quickly look at these with the time that we have, and I'm just going to touch on these. The Holy Spirit produces love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. This is a selfless love as Christ displayed. The Holy Spirit produces joy. John chapter 15, verse 11. God wants our joy to be full and that it is continual. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. The Holy Spirit produces peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. God wants us to have peace because he has what? Overcome the world. The Holy Spirit produces long-suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is patience or endurance. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says there, and the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. The Holy Spirit produces goodness. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Do good to all men, especially those, what? Of the faith. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. See, the Holy Spirit produces also faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, it says, And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. We also see that the Holy Spirit produces meekness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Blessed are the meek. Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says, showing all meekness unto all men. When we think of meekness, maybe you heard this before, but it has the idea of like a horse, right? Horses are pretty big, aren't they? Especially when you look at a Clydesdale, right? And a horse can do pretty good destruction if it really wanted to. I mean, it could destroy things pretty easily. With a rider on its back, it would have no problem doing what? Throwing that person off, right? Some of you guys I know like horses, right? But this idea of meekness has the idea that meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. So in other words, that horse is strong, and that horse knows what it can do and is capable of doing. right? But it's meek. It's strength under control. You know, we put a bridle in a horse's mouth, right? We can steer the horse. We can move the horse. We can give the horse commands, right? But that horse is very strong. And any time if it wanted to, it could toss its rider at will. Someone had a question over here? Yeah. Controlled spirit. Yeah, I mean, the idea when we talk about the Holy Spirit here, you know, the Holy Spirit can give us that controlled spirit. Temperance, the Holy Spirit produces temperance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. Temperance is a self-resisting or self-control. It's a disciplined life. Let me just quickly give some application here. But I just want to say this. At some point down the road, if I'm still teaching Sunday school, who knows? But I would love to just go through and do maybe a 5-Sunday series on the Holy Spirit. Because I think we just really need to take a deep dive. This was maybe really good, right? I don't know. I mean, but there's a lot here, right? But I think we even need to go deeper. So applications here for our lives is make a definite commitment to yield every part of your life to Him. Remember, the Holy Spirit is what? A person. Remember that. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Okay? We need to make a definite commitment to yield every part of our life to Him. Bring back that sensitivity in your lives. If you have to go back to the day you were saved and you remember that day that you were more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, ask God to bring that back. Also, daily reaffirm your commitment to yield to Him. Daily do it. And then lastly, specifically ask the Holy Spirit to develop the area in your life that you see are lacking. Ask Him. The Holy Spirit is as big a part of our lives as the Father, the Son, right? We ought not to forget. We ought not to forget what God has given to us, even though He's not here. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this lesson, Lord. Thank You for showing us these truths. Lord, as we disciple people, as we show people this truth, Lord, may they see the Holy Spirit in our own hearts and life. Lord, may we be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we go through discipleship with someone else, Lord, that's what we want them to see. We want them to see the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And not only that, we want them to see that the Holy Spirit can change and give them power as well. So, Father, I just pray You bless today. There's so much going on. We're so thankful for what we're celebrating today, Lord. Help us to celebrate that all year long. Lord, not just today, but, Lord, may we always remember what You've done for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.